Welcome in, Tappers. It is another edition of the Daily Tap here. It is Friday, April 6th. Happy Friday to everybody as we get the weekend started. Big weekend on tap here for sports fans. First of all, I want to get out the Twitter handle here, at Mitch Ross, MKE. I do the Tap in the Keg podcast each and every week here on this very channel with Charlie. He runs the Snowtap WI. It's a website. Check that all that out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, snowtapwi.com. Chuck does a great job of keeping you up to date on everything you need to know for in the land of sports, and whether it's Wisconsin or national topics or really anything that comes to his mind. He's obviously devoted, and it's an honor to sit in the throne here for you and get you caught up in all things you need to know for a quick edition here of the Daily Tap. Well, I guess first we'll start with the Milwaukee Bucks as they clinch the playoff berth, finally, the 2017-18 season. We all knew, we had all hoped the Milwaukee Bucks would clinch the playoff berth this season, and it has finally happened. It took to the last week of the season, but obviously we knew it would happen. I know there were some struggles throughout the season. Definitely a rough stretch as the Bucks had to play several playoff teams right after the All-Star break, and didn't fare so well in that stretch. Unfortunately, got a couple of wins, but obviously enough to keep Detroit far enough away at the 9 seed. Detroit eliminated Wednesday night. Obviously, the Bucks clinch. And they're taking on the Brooklyn Nets here on Thursday night. This game is in progress as I tape. Bucks struggled a bit in the first half, containing Brooklyn Nets. Three-point barrage. The Nets made 10 threes in the first half, so something to keep an eye on. But regardless, the topic remains the same, as now it all comes down to this, basically. The Bucks will finish 6th through 8th, most likely, in the Eastern Conference, as Indiana is dismantling Golden State tonight, so that's pretty much essentially going to clinch that the Bucks cannot get the 5 seed, even barring something as crazy as that would be. So the Bucks will have the 6th through the 8th seed. We'll see how that shakes out, as Miami, as I tape this, has a half-game lead over both the Bucks and the Washington Wizards, who the Wizards are trailing to Cleveland as I tape this Thursday night again. So, the big news, obviously, of the day across the NBA world is that Kyrie Irving went out with an injury. He underwent knee surgery, and I think it was worse than they had initially reported. He's getting some screws removed and just kind of a mess there in Boston. So Kyrie will be out for the year. So that means that now Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, the two biggest offseason acquisitions this past year for the Boston Celtics, will not really be a factor in the playoffs. They've still had a good season. They're still a good team. They're still well-coached, much better coached than your Milwaukee Bucks are. That's for sure. But everybody, certainly during the day on Thursday, that was kind of the topic, was, well, now we would like to see Boston in the first round. I guess, obviously, now that Kyrie's has ruled out, I would say that I agree with that. And Boston probably is the best matchup. The Bucks just beat them on Tuesday night at the BMO Harris Bradley Center. Albeit they tried to do their best to lose the game late again, much like they did on Sunday against the Denver Nuggets. But I think Boston is beatable. I just don't know if really the Bucks and that coaching staff can hang with Brad Stevens in a 7-game series. Makes me nervous, certainly. Tuesday night when when the Celtics were in town, they were down to about their 5th point guard with Terry Rozier out. Marcus Smart is injured. Shane Larkin was injured. So you had Kadeem Allen starting. And Eric Bledsoe looked engaged, actually, on the defensive end on Tuesday night. So he is probably the main, Eric Bledsoe, that is, the main culprit of this whole theory going on that the Bucks have to get going offensively to stay engaged on defense. I think he is the main culprit of that, where if his shot's not dropping, he starts pouting, and it can be a rough night on the defensive end for Eric Bledsoe. So, we'll have to see how these seeds shake out. I know I probably agree with the sentiment that the Boston Celtics would be the best matchup for the Bucks in the first round. Toronto, we played them in the playoffs last year. Toronto is a different team this year, where they are not afraid to shoot threes, and that's really how you win games in the NBA. I mean, that ultimately, nine games out of 10, I bet, that comes down to the difference in the game, certainly in a close game. The amount of you can't trade threes for twos in the NBA, and that's what you're seeing Thursday night with the Bucks and the Nets. The Nets just jacking up threes. They got nothing to play for. So Toronto has started to shoot more threes. Their offense is much improved. And, you know, they look like a tough matchup. I'm not sure the Bucks can beat them in a seven-game series this year when they couldn't last year. I think the Bucks are improved over last year slightly, but Toronto has improved slightly as well. So I just, in a seven-game series, I don't know how Toronto would fare as a matchup for the Milwaukee Bucks. I think the Bucks probably go down in that series in six again. And honestly, I don't really want the Bucks to finish in the eighth seed. I just do not want that to happen. A lot of people are like, well, Toronto's beatable. But just it's just fulfilling Herb Cole's prophecy. We've had the eighth seed all the time. I'm just so sick of it. The team is better than that. They've got to finish. Not to mention, if you do finish in the eighth seed, you don't get your first round pick this year. The odd protection from the Eric Bledsoe, Greg Monroe trade. So you don't get your pick if you finish seventh or eighth. But obviously, I just don't want to finish eighth. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. And then if you get the sixth seed, God forbid the Bucks move up and take the sixth seed. They've got some winnable games here. So it's not out of the realm of possibility the Bucks get to the sixth seed. You'll probably keep your pick, but you'll end up facing LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round. And LeBron, man, beating him in the first round, that would be amazing. That would be absolutely amazing. I know Charlie harps on this website that the Cavs defense is bad, and it is. He is right. But you can't count out LeBron James. So I guess in that situation, it would come down to, what do you value more? Another first-round draft pick or a first-round series victory? Because I don't think it's going to happen against Cleveland or Toronto. Boston, I would give them a slight chance at advancing past a Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward-less Boston Celtics. Switching gears here, the Chicago Cubs have come to town for a four-game set down at Miller Park this weekend. Obviously, always a fun time in the city of Milwaukee when the Northsiders make their trek, their biannual trek up to the great city of Milwaukee and help out our economy and certainly help out the fine friends at Lakefront Brewery. We always joke. I know a couple of people that work at Lakefront, and we always joke how busy it is when the Cubs are in town, because, and I say to them, that's because the Fibs don't know anything else to do with themselves while they're here to kill time other than go to a brewery and help the economy. So for that, we thank you, Chicago. But, you know, obviously the Brewers, again, off to a rough start here in this one as well, as they are down 5-0 here in the top of the fifth. Another bad start. Brent Suter has given up, you know, 5 earned runs in 4 innings, 8 hits to the Chicago Cubs here on Thursday night. So another bad start for the Brewers. And I know we talked about it in the Tapping the Keg podcast yesterday a little bit, how the pitching, we're not too worried. It is only a week into the season. But at some point, you need to get a good start and start to stop the bleeding a bit. You can't get down 4-0 in every game. Now, they didn't do it in San Diego. San Diego doesn't have quite the offense that a St. Louis or a Chicago Cubs team certainly has. So you're seeing the Cubs, or the Brewers, getting down here against these expected to be great opponents. And, you know, they're getting down 4-0 right away, 5-0, 2-0. Every game against St. Louis, they were down 2-0 in the first inning. And, you know, you just can't continue to muster up the magic they have. You know, twice so far this year, the Brewers have won when trailing after 8 innings, which they did once all of 2017. So to do that twice this year means they are playing from behind, and that's fine. I think the Brewers 1-5, certainly in their lineup, can hang with just about anybody, I think, in baseball, which is good to say, because the starting rotation, and I do think the bullpen is good enough to hang around and sort of back up that starting rotation, that if they struggle, if a guy only goes 4 or 5, I kind of expect the bullpen to come in and only give up a run, maybe 2 the rest of the way if they have to go 5 innings. I think that's, you know, a bullpen ERA is probably going to be one of this team's strengths as we go through the 2018 season. But again, you need someone, and maybe this is where David Stearns kind of failed. We touched on it again in the podcast yesterday as well, that, you know, Stearns kind of set the table, and now he's got to eat. He's got to figure out a way to probably get more of an ace in here at some point this season. I mean, it doesn't have to be tomorrow. It doesn't have to be next week. But I would think by the deadline, he's got to look long and hard at probably getting a starting pitcher into this rotation, because you need that stopper. And I think, too, much like hitting is contagious, I think good starts are contagious. I think that you know, every fifth day, nobody wants to screw up. Much like in a batting order, the next guy comes up, you know, you want to keep the line moving. You want to do that too. Everybody wants to get off the field as a starting pitcher. You want to get off the field and keep that line moving. And I think that starting pitching and everything can be contagious, and even a good bullpen. So hopefully the Brewers can get a good start here at some point in 2018. I'm not even sure if a starter has won a game, actually, yet this year. So the Brewers still sit at 4-3. So as we tape this podcast, not looking good here on Thursday night as the Brewers trail 5-0 about midway through that game. So, again, good start, much needed for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll see if they get it again. Get it against the Chicago Cubs this weekend, as the Cubs offense certainly will make that difficult, but they can do it. I know these guys are major league pitchers, and it can happen. Switching gears here yet again to golf, not necessarily my forte, so I'll do my best here. I know Charlie and even Nolan, producer Nolan here on Tapping the Keg, those guys, I have to sit in a group chat with those guys as they talk fantasy golf all the time, and they like golf a lot more than I do, but hey, it's the Masters. It's the biggest golf tournament, you know, of the year. It's essentially their Super Bowl, where it's the first major. Everybody gets excited for it. It's probably the one Sunday where I'll tune into the final couple holes as an extremely casual golf fan. It's fun to watch the last, you know, few holes, last day of the Masters, as, you know, those guys come around and go for the green jacket. But as Happy Gilmore once said, gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit? Anyway, I digress. Jordan Spieth, he's your leader after day one. He used a pretty late push there. He had 5 straight birdies at one point down the stretch there. So he is your leader after one round at 6-under. Tiger Woods, obviously the talk of the town, the toast of the golf world, as everybody thinks he's back. Well, a couple of rough shots in day one. He sits at 1-over. Tied for 29th in the first day of Masters competition. Tony Finau, I don't know if you guys saw this, but on Wednesday, the par three contest, which as Charlie alluded to in yesterday's Tap in the Keg, it's kind of the slam dunk contest it's kind of the all-star weekend type of deal for golf. And he dislocated his ankle. And there's video of it if you just go on Twitter, I'm sure, and you search Tony Finau, or go to maybe this very website, snowtapwi.com. It is a website. You might be able to find the video of Tony Finau snapping dislocating his ankle while celebrating a hole in one in the par three contest, and he just pops it right back in. It's disgusting and funny, but hey, here he is, 4-under, second place after one day at the Masters down in Augusta. So pretty awesome stuff there. One thing that wasn't awesome at the Masters, defending champion Sergio Garcia, he put 5 balls in the drink on the 15th hole to card a 13 for the hole, which is the record for the worst hole ever carded at Augusta. So going to be really tough for Sergio to make up for those shots, no question about it. I know Murph's going to be coming back here with a daily tap over the weekend. So he's much more of a golf guy. Hopefully he can keep you guys a little more in the loop, in the know, more than I can, but I'm doing my best here just to give you sort of the meat and potatoes of day one action down at Augusta. Couple rapid fire topics to get to now. First, the New England Patriots have signed ex-Bills and Eagles wide receiver Jordan Matthews. Obviously, he had a visit with Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers, a couple of weeks ago, and clearly nothing come of that, as the Patriots have filled their Brandon Cook's void with Jordan Matthews. He goes to the New England Patriots. Obviously, you know, been a pretty average receiver to this day in his NFL career, but Tom Brady, obviously you can make any receiver look a lot better than maybe they have in years past. So Jordan Matthews, a good possession guy, I think is a good fit with Tom Brady. So we'll have to see what happens with the New England Patriots as they round up their receiver corps and try to give Tom Brady as many weapons as they can. We don't know how much time Tom Brady has left in him. How many years he has left. But obviously the Patriots always a Super Bowl favorite to start the season. Also, Conor McGregor storms a media day at UFC in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn on Thursday, which is interesting. And the guy hasn't fought in UFC in a year and a half. And, you know, Dana White, obviously not too pleased with Conor McGregor, as you know, I don't know much about UFC, but I do know that Conor McGregor is certainly a loose cannon and kind of does whatever he wants. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what we'll have to see what happens. Was the cause of this riot? One of the fighters this weekend, I think, is taking on Milwaukee's own Anthony Pettis. He's on the card this weekend. He had a couple of cuts and some, you know, got a little scuffed up from McGregor, and he had a big entourage with him. They were throwing stuff at a bus, and it's just, I have no idea what's going on there. We'll have to see what happens out of that. I mean, Conor McGregor, that dude certainly does not care about anyone else, and as long as he gets his money, he's good to go. So, cute kid, though, for sure. That's going to do it for us here on the Daily Tap. I'm Mitch Ross here, filling in for Charlie. He is in Vegas as we speak, so... Again, he'll be back next week, hopefully in 100% shape. Check out my Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and check out Snowtap WI. That's on Twitter. That's on Facebook. That's on Instagram. All of the above. Obviously, probably going to be a little light this weekend, but you know, we're doing our best here in the Daily Tap to keep you guys informed, in the loop on sports and pop culture, whether it's in the state of Wisconsin and nationally. Till next time, Tappers. Good night.